Anyone intrigued by my sermon title today? Just checking. Okay. I had a couple people say, I want to know what you're talking about today, Ron. So if you Google Hollywood Jesus, this is what will come up. This guy. This guy walked along Hollywood Boulevard for years, dressed sort of the part. Kind of looks like Jesus, or the way that we imagine Jesus. And always was greeting people. Didn't really preach so much as he just showed up in places. Everyday, ordinary places. That's a Hollywood Jesus, you know, the sunglasses, the hat. He'd show up sometimes with a simple message. You see the balloon he's carrying, no hate. Hanging out with kids, that sounds like our Jesus, right? Let the children come to me. Always with open arms. He did that for years and years, and some of you may have even run across him when you were out there in visiting California. He passed away last year, but he is still so famous that if you Google Hollywood Jesus, he is the guy that will come up. When some of you hear the phrase Hollywood Jesus, you think more of this, right? All of the ways that Jesus has been portrayed in films over the many years. There were classic movies like The Robe with Richard Burton and this kind of a sideways story about Jesus. Jesus is very much a part of that story. Or the radical story about Jesus Christ Superstar, you know, the one that rocked the churches back in the 1970s. Who could imagine that kind of music telling the story of Jesus, right? Or the more traditional tellings, Jesus of Nazareth, the movie just plain called Jesus. Or this one, where Jesus literally is like a clown who goes around telling stories. He's a troubadour, and he's singing, and he's prancing, and he's gathering his disciples in a winsome kind of way in Godspell. There are controversial Jesus stories as well. The Last Temptation of Christ was one of those. And more traditional tellings and more recent ones like The Passion of Christ with Mel Gibson that millions of people saw in the theaters. All kinds of portrayals of Jesus, and I can tell you this, they will continue to be made because this story is not finished, right? There will always be a new take, there will always be a new angle, there will be another attempt to tell this story about this compelling individual, whatever your faith perspective, this compelling man who has changed the world, all and continues to speak and to move. But that's not the Hollywood Jesus I want to talk about either today so much. Oh, sorry, this is one that's Mary Magdalene. That's a real recent one as well. I forgot I had that slide in there. All these name actors, too, showing up in these religious films. This is the Hollywood Jesus I want to talk about today. There's a website that's called HollywoodJesus.com. It's one I've been following off and on for the last 20 so years. I think it's been around since 1997. But even without the website, it's what I've been doing in my life and in my ministry. I love to go to films. How many of you love to go to see movies? I'm a big movie person. It costs a lot of money, especially when Holly wants the big bucket of popcorn. Now, in all fairness, I want that big bucket of popcorn, too. But anyway, Hollywood Jesus is sort of a collection of film takes and synopses and critiques. Some of them are faith-based movies, but they're not all faith-based movies. They will recommend family-friendly movies that you can go see, but they'll also take on whatever is at the box office and look for themes that are there for us to see. How many of you remember this faith movie that made its way back when George Burns was starring in Oh God? Do you remember that winsome telling, that avuncular presence of God? My favorite movie in this particular genre is this one, though. Bruce Almighty. How many of you have seen Bruce Almighty? This film I have used to teach in Sunday school settings. We used it recently with our confirmation class here. I've used this on the Eastern Shore of Maryland on bike camps. I've taught this with God at the Movie series for the adults. I think it's a really fascinating film. Now, of course, it's a comedy, and it's not strict theology, but there is amazing theology in the movie if you pay attention. And Morgan Freeman shows up as God and turns over the universe to Bruce Almighty because he's been complaining that life is not fair. And he could do it so much better than God. Have you ever said that? And so if you don't remember what it's like, take a look.
Good dream. Oh, hold on.
many of you are like that in the morning?
Raise the dog!
That dog! Have you ever felt...
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News.
Hey, Wacky Bruce!
Unappreciated.
In the newsroom, we don't wear hairnets.
God.
Why do you hate me?
Have you ever thought life...
What are you doing over there?
...was unfair? Have you ever complained about it?
So God is picking on you?
What is that?
The only one around here not doing his job is you!
You must be Bruce.
Who are you?
I'm God.
Please. Okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
7.
Aha!
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me, Bruce. You think you can do it better, so here's your chance. When you leave this building, you will be endowed with all my powers.
I woke up this morning and I swear my boobs felt bigger. Do they look bigger to you?
Bigger.
Having fun?
From the director of Liar Liar.
You took the job, Bruce. I suggest you get to it.
You've got prayers.
Comes the story of supreme power.
Never seen the moon that big.
We really should waste it.
Divine intervention.
Sam.
And proof.
I'm Evan Baxter, and here's what's making news.
That heaven has a wicked sense of humor.
That looks like my new co-anchor may need a glass of water.
Jim Carrey.
I will see
you had my powers for a little over a week. How many people have you helped? But I guess you can't now, being dead and all.
I'm dead?
Nah, I'm just messing with you.
Bruce Almighty.
So in that film, it's obviously a lighthearted look, but there's all kinds of theology at work in there. The gospel shines through. This is, what do we think about prayer? What do we believe about how God operates in the universe? Is God fair or not? All of those questions come up in that film. Richard Leonard is a Jesuit who writes that the risen Christ sends us out into our media-saturated world, our culture. This is the world we live in, right? And in it, we labor with Christ to expose the signs of God's saving love that's already there. That means that we look for God in sacred places, like churches, but all series long, we've been looking for God out there in the world. Christ plays in 10,000 places, as we said a couple weeks ago. And last week, Carissa taught us about to think about all the ways that the creative ways that God works through our creativity, and we are called to be co-creators with God in the world. And I believe that God shows us God's presence and God's kingdom even in movies. Jesus understood the power of stories, didn't he? You heard that passage of scripture that we read this morning. How is Jesus teaching the crowds? How does Jesus always teach the crowds? In stories, in parables, right? Parable after parable after parable. The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like these wheat and these tares, the wheats and the weeds that grow up side by side. And some people want to cut them all down. They're going to damage. And God says no. Or the man says no, just let them both grow together. I'll take care of it at the end. Or the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, right? It starts off really small and then it becomes this great big bush that the birds come and nest in. Or the kingdom of God is like a woman who puts leaven in a loaf of bread and poof, look at what happens. All these stories. And while Jesus knows that when we are laughing or crying, when we are engaged in the stories, that's when we are vulnerable and that's when we are open to hear God's good news. When we get drawn into the stories. And so that's Jesus' teaching method over and over again. The kind of movies that I've been interested in most of my life are not always the most obvious ones where you find God. Like Bruce Almighty, that's clearly a movie about God. But you find God in these living parables like E.T., this extraterrestrial that comes to teach a different way, a different path, right? Or the kids' movies. I find God in these kids' movies all the time. Beauty and the Beast, right? That love conquers this hardness of heart and brings resurrection, literally resurrection. Or how many of you remember this movie, Up, and the great lessons there are in that movie? Or some of the movies that have had both cartoon and film adaptations. What is this? This is a baptismal scene, friends. This is Simba claiming his call from God, right? Or how about this one? You don't think of this one as a gospel story, but I do. Anyone know what this one is? Groundhog Day. The day that keeps happening over and over and over and over until what happens? Until he learns to stop thinking just about himself. And he gives himself away and he starts to care for the people around him. And then he breaks the cycle. Or this movie. Anyone know what that is? I see some heads nodding. Dead Poets Society. And living with passion and courage in the world. Claiming Your Vocation, some of the Marvel superheroes, the Spider-Man movies. There are movies out there of great courage and faith and justice, aren't there? Like Hotel Rwanda. Or Dead Man Walking. Sister Helen Prejean, who befriends this man on death row, and it's that relationship, even though he goes on to die, that saves him. Or Schindler's List, which at the end of the time, Schindler says, what? I could have saved more. But he spent and risked himself all through that movie to save his so many. Powerful film. I never stopped crying. Or this one, Shawshank Redemption. Morgan Freeman keeps showing up in these God movies, I have to tell you. I think it helps when you have the voice of God, right? But Shawshank Redemption is a movie I've used in my God at the Movies classes many times over. Richard Leonard goes on, he says, the parables do not mention God. Did you get that? If you go back through all the parables that Jesus tells, they never mention God. They're always told kind of sideways, aren't they? God slips in the back door. The kingdom of God is like this. It's a parallel. It's a parable. It's a surprise to it. But where you find these virtues of faith and hope and love and justice and fidelity and self-esteem and prudence and mercy, hospitality, the virtues of the kingdom of God, that's where the stories come to life. Jesus knows that that's how we grow into faith. Now, this one is a clip I could not show in church. How many of you have seen Gran Torino? One of my all-time favorite films. I never thought I would look at Clint Eastwood as a Christ figure. But he is. Clint Eastwood is this angry, bitter old man. He's a widower. He's lost his wife. He wants nothing to do with the young Catholic priest who wants to come and bring him salvation. The priest was for his wife, but he is at least kind of respectful. And they develop this amazing relationship. But who he really develops a relationship with are his next-door neighbors, the Hmong community that is sort of taking over his neighborhood. And he is bigoted, and he's got a foul mouth. That's why I can't show any of the clips in church. But by the end of the story, he is willing to give his life for his neighbors. This one I can show in church. How many of you have seen this one? This is sort of under the radar. Get Low. Another one of my sort of quiet favorites. Robert Duvall and Sissy Spacek and Bill Murray. And it's a story about a man, Robert Duvall, who is seeking redemption for his life. He's been carrying a heavy burden his whole life long. And he comes to the funeral parlor being run by Bill Murray in this little town, and he wants to be present at his own funeral. Take a watch.
And I want to be there.
You will be, I guarantee.
I want to be there now.
You want to be at your funeral party alive?
Yes, sir.
But you can't have a funeral if you're not, you know, deceased.
Hold on now. It's a detail. We can look at it.
Pretty big detail.
You want to have a funeral party while you're alive so you can go?
Yes or no?
Yes. Buddy, get some paper. We need to make a list of who Mr. Bush wants to invite.
Well, sit down there. I want everybody to come who's got a story to tell about.
All right, say again.
Probably covers about four counties.
Then I want four counties worth of people at the party.
Well, sir, the thing is, how do you invite people? How do you get people to come tell stories about you that I'm guessing might get them, you know, shot? You know what? Don't worry about it. You go on ahead. Don't worry about it. We'll come up with something. A couple of ideas just came to me.
So in that film, this man wants to be at his own funeral because he has been carrying this burden and he wants to know the stories that have been told about him, and he wants to finally tell his own story. And it's an amazing story, and it is a story of repentance and redemption all at once. Powerful. If that's not the gospel, friends, I don't know what the gospel looks like. Now, there have been more recent films that we don't think of as having spiritual themes, but there's prayer in Gravity, and in the very last words that she says at the end of the film, thank you. Thank you, as she speaks out to the universe. There are films that inspire us because of the stories that they tell. Anyone recognize this scene from Selma? Or this film that we used a couple years ago to frame our Advent season, a season of wonder, right? And all of those stories we told about accepting one another and love coming to life in our midst. A more recent one, the Black Klansman. This African-American guy actually infiltrates the Klan. Powerful story. Or how many of you have seen Green Book? That is a film worth seeing, friends. About a time in our history, our country's history, when African-Americans were not safe to drive through certain towns or could only stay in certain places. That's what the Green Book was. And this unlikely friendship that develops between this bouncer and this talented musician who's traveling through the South. It's a story of redemption and hope. Or if you like films that don't have a lot of dialogue, anyone seen Arctic? This is just out recently. It's a quiet film, I have to tell you that. But it's an amazing story because one of the decisions the main character has to make is whether he tries to survive this plane crash alone, where his odds are much higher, and does he abandon the injured person that he's been dragging through the snow so that he can survive or not? Sounds like the gospel to me. This, super comics and Marvel movies, they have gospel themes woven throughout, don't they? The Star Wars trilogies, all of those big epics, dramas that face life and death. Who is the antagonist in this story? Thanatos, right? Death, the king of death. And the forces of life are taking on the forces of death. This is good versus evil, life versus death. It is all around us, friends. And Christian movies have made it into the mainstream too of late. Once upon a time, Christian movies were only made for Sunday school classes. They went straight to DVD, right? They didn't really get on the big screen. Maybe they made it to TV. But in the last 10, 15 years, we've seen a lot of Christian movies going over to Regal Cinemas and AMC and on the big screen. And you've seen some of them, haven't you? Some great movies out there. I can only imagine what's out last year and A Wrinkle in Time. All of these ways that the gospel is being proclaimed on the screen. And here's a good one. Bart Johnson from our 8 o'clock service told me to go see this. And Holly and I went to see this week. Powerful film. It's still in theaters, barely. It's about to leave. So if you haven't had a chance to see this one, maybe this will entice you.
Rise and shine.
Based on a true story.
In 10 minutes. And don't make me come back out there. This is our town. It's a close-knit community. The kind of place where everyone knows everyone.
Hi, Miss Jay.
Hey, how are you girls? And we're always there for each other.
Nice sermon, Pastor.
What do you guys have on for the rest of the day?
Well, Don has a basketball game.
Yeah, I've seen this guy hooping up around here. This kid is so lit.
Text your mom tomorrow and tell her when and where to pick you up.
And don't do anything stupid.
Love you guys.
Boys, get off the ice!
We're training for the Olympics, sir.
Cindy.
Don!
He's been underwater for more than 15 minutes. It's gonna be a recovery, not a rescue.
I got something.
We got him!
We've done everything medically possible.
There's nothing more we can do. No.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
A 14-year-old St. Charles boy who spent 15 minutes trapped underwater is continuing to fight for his life.
I don't believe John will survive the night.
You don't know my son. He is a fighter. So I need you to be the best for John, and you just let God do the rest. You are my pride and joy. I can't wait to see you shoot those baskets and run up and down the court again.
The Smith family asked for one thing. Please pray for John.
in the water that day.
I was ready to give up, but then I hear this voice telling me, go back.
Either I'm nuts or God's talking to you.
But I don't believe in God.
I believe, but maybe that only goes so far with something like this.
I'm your pastor. I'm supposed to walk alongside you for as long as it takes.
Did you see the Facebook page? It's gone viral.
Tommy?
I hope he's gonna be okay.
We're not gonna get through this alone. Whatever you have for me, for Brian, for John, I surrender.
Now, to its credit, it doesn't deal just with the boy that's healed and saved. It deals with some of the tougher questions about the people who aren't, and some of those hard things about unanswered prayer and what happens with that. It's an amazing story, and I highly recommend it to you. One last quote from Richard Leonard. He says, the cinema's parables can provide us with a venue in which to fulfill the Great Commission. God is out there, friends. The kingdom of God is in us, Jesus says, and it is all around us if we believe his teaching about that kingdom, which happens in ordinary places with an unnamed God who is just active in the world, bringing life and bringing hope and planting seeds of love. Friends, I don't know where you will encounter Jesus this week. It might be when you're reading a book. It might be in a conversation with a friend. It might be when you are creating something with your hands. Or it might even be when you are watching a movie and you hear a whisper in your ear, or you find a truth about yourself and about the universe that you never expected. Hollywood Jesus, he's real, even if that other guy is gone. Amen.